It's about meeting halfway. And you'll find that you can still feel each other, but you won't feel like they're in your body or you're in their body. So we're going to take a couple minutes, just practice with a couple of people. And it's your intention. I am cutting and sealing the energy, and see how it feels. And you'll see, for me, a lot of times when I'm talking to you guys, when I want to make a finite, I just say, stop, it stops here. That's why I do my sign of the cross. Uh-uh, done. After a while, and I do it a lot in my life, when energy's coming at me, I go, what? And you'll find, boy, once you get used to this, it's like a brick wall. And so, yeah, I'm right here for you, but no, I'm not loaning my body out to you. You don't get to put your energy in here. Or when I get in my usual over chatty, charismatic, verbal diarrhea self, I use it often to just make sure that if anything, I'm just listening to myself talk. I don't want to have to have other people have to listen, so I'll sit here, okay. Don't mind me, I'm just practicing being homeless. I got some extra information on the side. I was joking about, you know, stop in the name of love. Yeah, and we're from New York, especially New York, San Francisco, and she has a lot of black friends, and a lot of my black friends do this, my inner city black friends. Girlfriend, talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. But they do that. They give you that little, I can't even do it. Can you do it? You're black. You could play basketball too, right? Basketball and this, right? I can't do it well, but you've all seen it, right? And that shoulder thing? If you see the shoulders, you're fucked. If you're seeing the shoulders, get out of there. They're winding up for that. So it's used a lot of different ways. And to recognize, and we're pointing out that many of us use it just like, stop. The sign of the cross what I like more about it is that you're actually intentionally knowing what you're doing. I'm cutting this energy and I'm sealing it. And I'm not separating. We're not asking you to have a shield. We're not asking you to disappear, to be fully present. Yeah. That works long distance also. Yeah. On the phone, instead of spraying Lysol on the phone, just, oh, that's my ex-husband. I better do two hands. Yeah, it works long distance. It's an intention. The reason I suggest it manually at first is eventually you can just create the boundary. It's just the lack of boundaries. And America, as much as we talk about freedom and bravery, if you have a boundary, you get nuked. And so we're finally coming around to where it's okay to have your own identity, which is what I believe the Constitution promised. But you have to remember, it was founded by a bunch of Puritans, and they weren't necessarily party animals. If you read any of Thomas Paine's work, now, growing up in Europe, I did extra research on America, probably more than you guys had to do. And if you go to the Library of Congress and read Thomas Paine's work as one of the original writers of the Declaration of Independence, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Property is how it was originally written. It's right there. And of course, to them, that was happiness. In realizing that happiness still meant the pursuit of property, these rich white Puritan guys with all their black people working for them, even though they were supposed to be freedom, they changed property to happiness. But it's originally written as property and is still intended as so. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. Now, that's for, where is she? That's for our realtor to know. So you can tell people, I am helping you with life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. I'm a true American. You have to wave the flag when you do that one. So, yes, it works through all things. Let's see, a couple other things. Smudging, since we're in the Southwest. A lot of you might be familiar with sage smudging or smoke smudging. Take, for example, the peace pipe, the stereotype of the peace pipe. It was used to clear the air. Let's all smoke the peace pipe here. We're going to sit in our circle and clear the air before we have a chat. We'll start. Smoke is used to clear the air. A lot of people smoke in cigarettes because they just want to. Everybody says, oh, you don't want the air clear. Yeah, they do. They leave me alone. I need to get all that junk that's in my body. When I watch people smoking cigarettes, I don't necessarily suggest some people stop smoking. A lot of the people I see smoking, the reason they can't quit is they haven't learned another way yet to stop from that energy. They're really sensitive people who are psychically getting bombarded. So for those of you who are smokers, and if you don't want to be, I don't have an issue either way. It's there. If this is just energy, this is planet Earth, it's it's you get to do what you want. So if it's something you're doing and don't want to do, as you develop boundaries or learn to hold your space or not take on energy, you will not need to smoke. You won't even want to smoke, most likely, if you're using it for that. Tobacco is used by a lot of, like the voodoo, and a lot of cultures, their spiritual work is with smoke to clear the air, to cleanse it. And here, saging a space or yourselves to make it clear before ceremonies. The Indians often sage the space and sage themselves so they come in pure. It's not that that person's pure, of course not, any more than you are if you do it. It's about just clearing the air, making the space so that the what's really stepping in there is you in all your strengths and weaknesses and all your purity. So for most of you, if you're not familiar with saging, the crystal shops will certainly give you a great chat. Sage and cedar seems to work the best as a real generic saging. Anybody here not familiar with it? Want to chat about it? Yeah, they sell you can get your own sage. There's tons of it I've seen around. And you get the dry sage or any tobacco. The people in Jamaica or wherever they are, where they use a lot of tobacco, cigar tobacco. But the smoke, whatever it is with the smoke, they use it. They let it smolder, and when you're brushing it on yourself, you're just asking it to gather the stuck energy and carry it home, clear the space. If you use it to smudge your house or your space, just open the window a little bit so it can go home. And it's just a great technique for clear. And you'll find it works really well for the cigarette smokers. Often, they, as soon as they have that first puff, they feel much better. Where were we? Saging, smudging stuff. So in the saging and smudging things, it's more about intention. Just let the smoke do its job, but ask it to just carry the stuff off. You'll find it helps you a lot. And I would suggest for all of you that find cigarette smoking offensive, that don't fall for that Madison Avenue crap about all of that. Really look at the situation and look at the person, and when you recognize smoke's just protons, neutrons, and electrons at some of its coarser levels, it's just thought forms at even lighter levels, and what you think about it is what it is. If we tell you smoking's bad for you, it is bad for you. Go to Peru and talk to all those 100-and-something-year-old people who smoke and chew really crappy, raw, intense tobacco all the time, and tell them they're supposed to be dead by now, and they're supposed to have that lung cancer they don't have. It's watch out for all these scientific reports. I'm finding that more and more people, as soon as they put out the report, more people get it than had it before because of the placebo effect, your belief systems. And so if you're sensitive to smells or chemicals, perfumes or smoke, look to see why. Doesn't mean you have to tolerate or love it at that time, but there is no right or wrong or good or bad here. So look for those things that you've been told are offensive. Ask those tall, skinny people like Jimmy Stewart how they don't have any weight when most of them eat twice the amount of any of the rest of you. Any of you watched a tall, skinny person eat? Had that privilege? They usually close the restaurant. Everybody goes, oh, God, here comes Jimmy Stewart. Let's get out of here. We're going to go broke. They don't have that belief about fat and all those parts. You ever seen somebody who can operate on very little sleep? And everybody says, wow, you know, you should be tired now. Well, okay, where'd you learn that one? School? My favorite thing about, I remember this, some of you I've told the joke before, but don't you all remember going to school and you had to get up real early and you got there real early? Any of you ever have that health science class first thing in the morning where they told you about the four basic food groups and that children need to eat these four groups and they also need lots of sleep, but they're busy telling you that at 7:55 or 8:10 in the morning? Didn't any of you want to like raise your hand and say, can I go home to bed now? Or reroute the class to later in the day because right now you're lying to me. You're just giving me rhetoric, but you're not really preaching as though you know it's the truth. They told you, eat right and get plenty of sleep. Then they feed you that crappy food in school and you don't get any sleep. Watch where you got taught. Look at the people who taught you these rules and regulations and taught you your boundaries. They have none. They don't even. They do what they say, not what they do. You know, and they're supposed to be teaching you. Very intense for me. When I came to America, after I grew up overseas, I spent a lot of time bouncing forth to America, having a dad who's an American military officer with dual citizenship. But I'm basically a Wapanese. I had Japanese nannies growing up in Italian culture, so I'm a whole new culture called Wapanese. And I came to America, and I watched everybody like cattle following all these rules, preaching that they were free. And I have to say, this is not the land of the free and home of the brave. I haven't met that person yet. There were a couple, Nathan Hale, Patrick Henry, but as soon as they claimed it, guess what? You're fired. So you're growing up in a time where you're really being asked to really claim that fearlessness we talk about. Are you ready, willing, and able to be Patrick Henry? Give me liberty, give me death. Are you? That's the claim to make. And now's the time to make it. Otherwise, it's about when they say you're not anything if you don't have your health. Your health is not just how you're feeling that day physically. It's about your mental health, your well-being, your emotional health, your sense of yourself, your esteem. That chat in America about esteem, do you ever see a three-month-old without that esteem as we talk? Have you ever met one that lacks self-esteem? Oh, this kid's going to be screwed for life. The only time you lack self-esteem, or it even becomes a word in your vocabulary, is once you've lost your identity. If you have an identity, you don't care what other people think about you. You know it's you, and their opinions are irrelevant. It's just it sticks and stones and takes one to know one. So anybody who thinks they have an esteem issue or bump into other people with esteem issues, by the way, if you do, you're working on yours. You know, it takes one to know one. It's about getting your identity back. And if you look at little children, their identities are scary to most of us. They're fearless. They climb up those things they shouldn't. They don't believe in rules and regulations. They eat and sleep whenever they want and do what they want. For those of you, like Sally's now retired, isn't it an amazing flow that you get into when you don't have to follow some other regime? All of a sudden, you thought, oh, I'm going to sleep in, and now you don't want to sleep anymore. Have you gotten to that part yet? Where you thought you might sleep in, but all of a sudden, why should I sleep in? I have my own schedule. I can stay awake now, nap here, do this, do that. This 8-hour sleep. How many of you have been told or heard that somewhere in your body there's this thing that sleep, there needs to be 8 hours of sleep? I don't know where that came. Who is that one person that was so strong with their 8 hours of sleep that convinced everybody else that's what it was? You know, somebody should have told my children that. I really tried to convince them, 8 hours, 8 hours, all, you know, all in a row, please, not broken up into fragments. So this is your space, above and below and all around you, and any energy that isn't yours, go home. Claim your space, breathe, make a decision while you're in that space to be there. Come hell or high water, whatever's up, this is where you chose to be, deal with it. It's not a good choice, not a bad choice. You're human beings, not human doings. It's just be here. Be still and know that you are God. G-O-D, got over defining. Define God for me. Well, God's undefinable. That's right, G-O-D, okay, I got it. Thank you very much. Got over defining, and you'll find then you can be self-centered. The defining that we do is just to find who we are in relation to other things. And once you know who you are, no definitions apply. You just won't care about whether that's good or bad or right or wrong. Haven't you all been at least for a moment in your life in one of those really good moods where nothing bothered you and everything seemed okay, and oh, that noisy neighbors, I just love them, and that car with all the blue smoke, it's okay, and oh, the jet over my house, I just love seeing the bottom of jets all day long. It just all was wonderful. So it's about getting back and really appreciating where you are so everything is wonderful. And you've all had glimpses of that. So what we're talking about is that moment where you're just totally self-centered, everything around you being you in the center of your universe. And so boundaries are very important, so that you need to get boundaries so you don't have to have boundaries. So it's about claiming your space so you can see who you are. And then once you know who you are, you don't need the feedback anymore. So my favorite technical technique is what that Glenda the Good Witch soap bubble thing I referred to earlier. I call it the blue spheres. And it's for especially, there's a lot of people in this room that take a lot of emotion into their chest area. In fact, great many of you in here. So this is especially one for you. Recognize, all of you, that if you think of somebody that you haven't seen in 10 years, there's a highly likely chance within the week they're going to call you. That where's that bill did I pay that bill? And you open up your mail and there it is that day. That you don't have to necessarily be present to take on someone else's energy. Or as a stranger, I can be walking by this person and I turn around and look at her and I'm still nuking her. I'm still checking her out. Can't you guys feel those people behind you in that grocery store line? Ugh. If you wanted to get out here, get her 5 minutes earlier if you're in such a hurry. You know? So this technique is about creating what I call conference rooms. Imagine a little softball-sized Glenda the Good Witch soap bubble right in front of your chest. And actually, it's like phyllo dough. There's millions of them, but they're not touching each other. They all have their own conference room, separate space, and for every person you know, you think of, that sees you, that you're seeing, and you just tell your body to handle that. You don't have to catalog them out. Anybody who's sending energy away, like that person who just passed her, as soon as I turn around and attempt to attention her, boom, she has a sphere for me. Her body automatically creates it. Consider it a conference room, and you meet everybody in there. So while I'm talking at you, while I'm talking in your direction, create a sphere for me, and don't take me in your body. And a lot of you are very, you don't even know what to do if you don't take me in your body. A great many of you are very used to, okay, I have to feel him. Okay, now I trust him, or now it's okay. If I don't feel somebody, I don't even know what to do with them anymore. The fun part about the conference room is it's still in your causal body. It's still in this place where you get to feel everything. So you can still feel it. You still get all the parts of it. It's just not inside you. How dare I be in your body unless I'm somebody real important to you or you want me in your body? So when you're sitting in the restaurant taking on all those people, do you really want to have eaten them or want them in your body? Might be why Tagamet's doing so well. It has more to do with the people you ate than the food you had. The conditions under which you were giving yourself heartburn. So create a sphere for me and see how it feels for me to meet you a foot away from yourself in this sphere versus in your body. And at first, for many of you, it's going to feel strange, like, well, I'm so used to feeling people or enmeshing with them. And this is a technique that allows you to have your space, your sacred space. And so as strangers, when we walk by, don't get to nuke you from behind, or I haven't seen you in 20 years, Pat, so all of a sudden I'm thinking about you. That doesn't mean I get to, well, so you're my ex-wife, you know? So I remember the great sex we used to have. Get out of my body, Rob. You know, like, ugh. So I can still meet you and chat with you there, but it doesn't have to be in you. It's your space. I don't get to just tap you on the shoulder when you're not thinking about me. So this technique, for a lot of you that were growing up, where it wasn't okay to have boundaries or you have to listen to what we have to say. Remember when you were kids and you're I loved watching my kids when I gave them a lecture and they sit there and I look you in the eyes, but I ain't sitting still, you know, oh, I'm going to get all that out of my body. Because the little kids, they just know, I got to get it out. Now, I might have to look at you, but I'm not holding it in here. This is about don't even let it in the first place. I'll attention you and I'll listen, or you're welcome to contact me and make those psychic long distance calls. But you don't get to come in my body unless you're like a bouncer, unless you're on the okay list. And if you're not on the okay list, you don't come in. I'll modify that list. You might be able to tap me on the shoulder and say, can I be on the list? And okay, you can be on the list. But you guys get to pick and choose that. It's a very cool technique. It takes a little attention at first. You ask your body to take over doing this. But at first, it takes a little of attention to recognize that you don't have to take any of us in your body, nor do we have to have it happen the opposite way. Like, I can totally know her without having to absorb her. But a lot of us don't believe. If you're an absorbing person, you believe, well, then they're not going to know me unless they absorb me, so we'll go, here's all of me. How many times have you guys done that or had it done to you? And then if you dropped it, they go, well, you don't love me, you don't like me. Or if you give it all to them, they don't treat it the way you wanted them to. They get to do it. If you give it to them, it's like in America, if you give it to me without me saying I wanted it, it's mine. You know, isn't that a great rule? If we mail you something to solicit you, you get to keep it. If I give you my energy, you get to keep it now. It goes along that order. And so, don't give it to them unless you want them to have it. Once you start creating spheres, you can actually do it for other people. You can, if you want to meet somebody, if I want to meet Kim, I'll come and meet Kim right here and wait to see if Kim wants to have a chat with me or engage with me instead of being rude and jumping into her boundaries, which doesn't serve me because now I'm enmeshed with her. It doesn't serve anybody. Does that technique make sense? This little sphere, oh, millions of them, one for each and every person on the planet. Billions then. Every insect that sees you, doesn't have to be a person, every entity, every plant, everything, that you don't have to take it in your body unless you want to. Do you have a question, Kim? She asked if some people with different energies have more of an issue with it than others, and yes. We just happen to be with 80 or 90% of you in this room are psychic dialysis machines. So for this room, most of you. And if it doesn't feel right for you, you'll know that's so boring. You know, I'm a psychic dialysis machine too. That's how I make my living. I absorb all of you in my body, see what's up, and spit it back out. But I've had to learn to clear myself. And so this is one of those techniques I use when I'm in general pub. Not in this room. Today I want to feel all of you. So you guys all are on the guest list. Yeah, but the guest list, you know, is new every moment. So you can pick and choose in, and it's not permanent. Once they're in, yeah, you can bounce them. That's what bouncers are for. Off they go into the spheres. Oh, take them home to Kansas. Does this technique make sense? Anybody who thought they might benefit from it not get it? Because I really want to, especially for blues, yeah, so I want to make sure. That's why I made it blue spheres, by the way. Yeah, that has to do with how you feel about yourself. We were talking about that esteem stuff earlier. When you have your identity, it's okay. You won't be influenced by any of it. But for many of us, if you walk, 99% of the people walking around right now are busy worried about following rules, what other people think, should or I, shouldn't I, will I or won't I, can or I, can't I. And they, little children don't ask those questions because they know they're in charge of their universe. And so as you guys became, you gave up your adulthood and you lost your identities and became what you thought you should be, I call it becoming the imposter. And so while you're being the imposter, since it's not the real you, it can never be good enough, or it can often seem too much, but it's never just right because it's not you. So the esteem issue comes in, or the identity stuff. So once you have your identity, none of this is necessary. So yeah, it is about how you feel about yourself. It is about how you perceive things. Some people will route it intellectually. If you route it intellectually, this technique isn't necessary. There's a lot of feeling people in this room, all of you feeling people in this room. And so it's about how to take care. I don't believe any of this is separation. This is about you taking care of yourself so you don't have to take up for yourself. Are you tired of taking up for yourselves? It's just take care of yourself. This is my space above and below and all around me. Any energy that isn't mine, go home. Now I get to pick and choose what energy does come into that space and under the conditions it comes in. And I also get to how I present myself. And it's up to how I want to be perceived. If I want to be perceived by Lori and I'm shoving all this energy at her and I'm watching her back off, then if I'm not paying attention, all I'm doing is just talking to myself. So I'll use my technique sometimes like that so I can like chat and not be offensive. Not that I'm worried about manners. Most of you know me, you know I have no manners, so it's not about manners. It's about I want her to hear me. It's what I want. I'm very selfish. It's about what I want. Just like a little kid, it's what I want. I don't give a shit what Lori wants, because Lori can go get the fuck out of here, Rom. It's up to Lori to take care of herself. So I'll set a boundary and say, I want to chat with you, Lori, and I don't want her to back off because I want to participate with her. So this is for me. I'm doing it for me. Not for her. I'm sorry, you guys, but I'm not going to take care of you. Guess whose job that is? So people like, offensive people like me, you can handle off. I'll push energy at you and just go, what do you want, Rob? Satan, get back if you choose. I often recommend you use that with me. and hold your space. And so do it with people like me who really are paying attention to what they're doing. So when you're out in the big bad world, you're not getting nuked by all these people. How many of you can hang around? Kim was pointing it out. The last chat I did, there was some noisy person. I don't even remember them. I don't even notice noisy people. I don't find them offensive. And if it bothered the room, I pretty much will figure that they'll tell that person. The peer pressure is my favorite, you know? So if they're noisy, all I have to do is have six other people go, shh. Works great in a movie theater. So the part is nothing will necessarily offend you anymore. And if it does, then that's your issue to work with. And it's not about fixing that person. Why is it that it even bothers you? Why'd you even notice? Ask yourselves those questions. Why is it it doesn't bother Bob, but it bothers me? Or why does it bother Bob and not bother me? It's about me. It's not about anybody else. So the homework here, these are techniques to hold your space and be responsible for your space, so in interacting with others, you just get to be you. And if the other person can't handle it or isn't paying attention, that's their part. You get to decide whether you want to participate with that or not. You've all been told to be shrinking. You've all been told to tone yourselves down or you know, do it this way and that way. And that made you give up your abundant nature of yourself, abundance. And when you're when you're abundantly you is when the universe matches you with it. When you're, look at those people who get paid millions of dollars, like Madonna. She drives everybody nuts, but everybody goes, "Oh, I wonder what Madonna's doing this week." Ching ching. There's another million on that question. You know, it's these fully abundant people, no matter how outrageous, that Dennis Rodman character. They're just being true to their color. Even Dustin Hoffman or Paul Newman being their version of free-spirited outrageous. It inspires people. People want to be reminded that it's okay just to be yourself. So we pay them millions of dollars to do that. You can. That doesn't mean, oh, we're talking about abundance and money only. It's about being recognized for who you truly are. And when you're participating and not being your real self with people, it's never going to be fulfilling or whole. No matter how much they say, "Oh, you're so wonderful and I love you and you're my favorite child and this and that," whatever it is, it's not going to register if you have no esteem. And that means if you have no identity. So you're going to have to be brave to claim your identities, because most of you are told that doesn't work in this family, or you don't get to do it that way, or that's not how our religion believes, or that's not how the Republicans or Democrats see it, or that's not how this community sees it, that's not how this works in farmland, that's not how it works in America, it's not how it works for Ford owners, it's not, but we'd pick a group. And then some of you brag about it, San Francisco 49ers, I go, "Whoa, don't you have an identity? How dare you pay to advertise for someone else? Don't you want to just walk up and just say, 'Idiot, you should have at least charged them $50 for the jacket, not paid $150 out for it. I'm going to advertise for you guys.'" There's such a lack of identity in America that people are desperate for it. They love when it's time to vote so they can be a Democrat or Republican or on Ross Perot's side or this and that. They love when it's the end of the basketball season so we can have a team to root for, because we don't know who the fuck we are. So at least I'm a Chicago Bull fan, and that's who I am, and until they lose. Because I want to be identified as the winner, so I'm going to go over here now. It's a lack of identity. And in fact, Madison Avenue does not want you guys to have an identity, because the minute you do, why would you buy any of their stuff? That's why they're busy. And TV, do you really think TV's there to entertain you? TV is what gets in the way of all those commercials. It's a business. Nobody ever seems to think it's a business. It's totally a business. Go spend a day or two at NBC or CBS. They do tours. You watch and see if it's a business or not. It's just like corporate headquarters 101. There's a bunch of little ants running around everywhere trying to make sure their little job's secure, because they're busy taking your money. And they just try to find ways to entertain you in between so you'll watch those dumb commercials.
That's why they got rid of Rod Serling.
That's right. Totally true. Mr. Violet, Rod Serling, nuked him. Not going to have commercials, folks, sorry. Very much. The key here is on TV. It's and how many of you have noticed my favorite thing is, thank God for VCRs, and pretty soon I am first on the list for this, digital CD recorders with special things that block out, and the VCRs have it now too, that block out commercials so that you don't record them. It had, because commercials have a little digital signal before and after them. So you now can, when the new digital CDs come out, you can record an entire show with no commercials. Of course, the CD, it's only going to be 5 minutes long. You're gonna have the world's best. God, I thought this was a special premiere 2-hour movie. Why did it only last 5 minutes? There's a hint of the century. And at the end of the show, you see 2 minutes of show and 10 hours of commercials. It's a business. The world's a business. America's just business. America's based on the stock market. But and this is another part about that fearlessness. Do not compare yourselves to others. It's a setup. And it totally sets up that, well, Mr. Jones has this and that. It's like you're not good enough the way you are. You're not okay. Little kids before they start getting taught that stuff, they know they became equipped. Look at this great hand. I wonder how it tastes. It's my favorite flavor. See if I can get it all spitty and all over my face. You know, they just know that they came built in with toys. They can totally entertain themselves. Those of you who bought your kids expensive toys, my kids, I just crumpled a piece of paper and tossed them at it. They had the time of their life. Save me lots of money. Well, oh, you want a new toy? Here. This one's crumpled a little different. It's purple. It's a crumpled purple one. Ooh, thanks, Dad. It's a setup. I always get that Tickle Me Elmo thing. People were paying $5,000 for that thing. Sick. Now, that's the obvious sickness here. But if it was you and it was your kid, and for $5 extra, you could get that, would you? What's the difference between $1 extra above what it is or 5,000? Zero. Nothing. Just the degree of the illness, that's all. Still the illness. That's just the degree at which you're willing to demonstrate how sick you are. So the secret to abundance, which is really the secret to being your real lively self, to have the life you all wanted to have, is to know you're having it right now. It's just been a choice whether you thought you had it or not. If you have peace and harmony, contentment and well-being, a nickel is more than enough. It doesn't matter if you have arms or legs. It doesn't matter if you live in Cottonwood or not. That's a bad joke. I said Cornville last time because somebody said Cornville, but I went to Cornville. I liked it. Cottonwood, though. So it's a trick. Wherever you are, be there. And if you're not happy where you are, you need to look at that. Why are you not happy there? Because it's about you. It's not about it. Now, granted, Hawaii for me, I spent my 6 years there working on that, and I realized that yes, Hawaii, I just was not able to deal with the temperature. And my issue at that time, so to show you guys the flip side of it, I tried to make myself accommodate it. What I realized is, why don't I just go where my whole body says to go? I'm not a palm tree, I'm a pine tree. So I went to where pine trees are. And that was the last chat we did here about family. When I left home at 13, I looked at Francis and Adriana, and I said to them, you're my parents and I really love you, but you're not familiar to me. And I know that I'm not familiar to you based on all the junk you tried to tell me is how I should see the world. And so I'm going to go look for my family now. I lucked out. One of my children is actually a family member. For many of us, our children are not our family members. I have a brother and a sister who are family members. That's another miracle. That doesn't mean they're not your family, but there are people who are more familiar. And right now, what a lot of people are up to, going back and collecting that lost little child. By the way, how you must have felt at that age, if it was terrified, abandoned, alone, neglected, whatever it was, it's how you're going to be feeling now because you're recreating that feeling. It's just a feeling you're recreating. It's not that you have to go back and be the kid. What are you going to do now that you feel abandoned? What are you going to do now that you feel like you're almost broke? What are you going to do now that you feel like there's no sustenance? What are you going to do, Chris? What are you going to do? I'm going to get an American Express card. That's what I'm going to do. What do you do? What do you do? So go back and collect that kid, be here, and make a decision and move forward. It's about moving forward without changing who you are. I'm scared. I'm overwhelmed. I'm nervous. I feel alone. All oneness is just aloneness all crammed together. So just America just doesn't put the hyphens in the right place. It's about becoming all one again. And in order to become all one, you need to separate. You have to become alone. When you were forming, this sperm and that egg that met to manufacture who you are, at least for those of you who aren't aliens in here, for the few of you that are aliens, when that sperm and egg met, you went through a process called mitosis. You started dividing. You divided into two, and you divided into four, and oh my God, in order to become whole, you had to separate out and divide into millions of separate things. So this person that thinks they're so whole is actually the end result of a hell of a lot of separation. Starting to feel separate a little bit these days, huh? Maybe starting to feel alone, or nobody understands, or my opinions are different. You're getting close. Allow yourself to have that opinion. Don't follow those rules unless you really like them. I don't have a problem stopping at a red light. If, in fact, I'm really feeling present within myself, I can be totally happy there for that moment. But if I'm not, I'm not stopping for the light. You guys get to choose. You're all very psychic people, very intuitive. Everybody is. You can feel, if you can feel that person with the grocery cart behind you, you can feel 2 tons of steel, I promise you. If you can feel that little, what does it weigh, 15, 20 pounds? Can feel 2 tons of steel, plus with momentum, moving airspace, tickling your senses. So trust yourselves. It's about being fully abundant. And as you practice it, you're going to stumble and fall on a couple of things. But I promise you, what is that? Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? What a wonderful life I would have had I done the things I was afraid of doing. So the chat for abundance is really a chat for fearlessness. And in order to get fearless, you have to be still and know that you're a God. And first thing you have to know is that God is G-O-D. It's about getting over defining. And so you're going to have to separate out, become alone, which is all one, and therefore have no identity, therefore have your original identity, and now you can go have a life. I hope that all made sense. It did to me. Whew, and I said it all in one breath. That's the miracle of the day. So, if you were, this is a repeat for some people, but it's a part of this God thing. Let's say you worked really hard and you became the president of this company, and you look back and you see all it took to get there. You go, wow. wow, isn't this great? But you know, there sure is a lot more I could do. The minute you get to a pinnacle of anything, you're just in the middle. All it takes is a look back and a look ahead, or a look forward or a look backwards. The minute you get, if you're 3 months old, you can look back 3 months and ahead about 3 months. If you're 30, you pretty much can look back about 30 and look ahead about 30. It's a generalization. But if you look at your ages, you're looking ahead about that amount. Of course, now if they told you you can't live past 100, then if you're 70, you go, 100, okay, shit. Who put that wall there? They just had some lady on the news yesterday, 122, and on the internet. She has a website, and she is on the internet. She's a surfer at 122. Holy moly. I was amazed I made it to 40-something, you know. 122. So you're at the top of this pyramid. That lady at 122, I'll bet she sees at least another 122. She is sharp. So she looks back her 122. She goes, man, I'm cool. I got my website and this and that. But you know, there still is a lot more to do. Let's say you became God today. All of a sudden you realize, you know, you are just who you are. You don't have to define yourselves anymore. You just be human beings instead of human definitions, instead of human doing. So you finally wake up and smell that coffee. Okay, here I am. And look at all the lifetimes, and look at all the experiences, and look at all that stuff. And here I am. Whew, sure is a hell of a lot more to do, though. God's just one more middle. So when somebody says, who do you think you are, young man or young lady? If you say God, and they go, ah, it was just another middle. It's like BFD. God's no different than saying, I'm in charge of cleaning toilets. That's just another middle. Be as full of your divinity cleaning the toilet as cleaning the throne as well as sitting on it. It's just another middle. And don't take yourself seriously or take yourself in shame at any point. Nobody's to measure it. If they're measuring it, it's just their projections of what they think will make their life better. It's bullshit. Be still and know that you are God. It's just a middle. So part of the homework for you guys to become God or to become, make your own rules. God makes the rules here, right? At least that's what I was told. So for a person who got over defining, I think it's very funny that we gave that entity that job to make rules when, well, tell us about God. Well, God's not definable. Then how come God made rules? Because it's all undefined. If God built a, what is it, George Carlin joke, if God is so powerful, can he himself build a rock so big that he can't lift it? Good job, George. The key is God's not a big deal. My joke that goes with it, some of you are tired of hearing it, but I got to say it. You know who Masons are, right? The Masons are those guys who are busy building that big brick wall, so when you become God and you go, boom, you hit that wall. They go, ha, 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 you should have been paying attention to what we're doing. We're down here building that wall for you to run into. All these esoteric groups, the Rosicrucians, the Masons, all they're doing is working on letting go of definitions. You don't hear much about them. As they undefine things, the homework here is to be fearless. Fear takes you out of the moment. The only thing you can touch or be present for is the moment. So your homework is to be fearless, truly, and then your abundance follows, because you can't help but be abundantly you. There's nothing to stop you. The only thing that actually stopped you is sitting in those chairs. It wasn't us. It wasn't Bob stopping you. It wasn't me. It was you. You know, what's the old saying? You've met the enemy and it is you. So the exercises again, breathe. Find little reminders to help you breathe in a day. It's not deep breathing, not pranayama, just breathe. Oh yeah, the way you lift heavy weights very successfully is using pneumatics. You know, air-filled bladders. Oh my God, I've got two of them. I imagine I could lift heavy weights with this, called feelings. You just breathe, it'll lighten you up a whole bunch. Get your present. Check into your bodies. Don't take them for granted. You all have big toes on your right feet. Did you know that a minute ago? Were you even aware of them? Can you feel your toe and the tip of your hair at the same time? Should be doing it all the time. Can you feel yourself? Get grounded. What I mean by grounded, in order to, some people, like especially for real psychic people or real sensitive people, get grounded almost sounds like, oh, you're grounded. Sounds like, oh God, I'm stuck on earth. You stuck me in my room. Grounded. I know that grounded word. It sucks. I hated being grounded. Get grounded. And grounded is real simple. Just recognize your connection as one with everything. Not just the earth. This carpet is not solid. It's protons, neutrons, and electrons vibrating as fast as they can to make you believe they're solid. It's because you're not vibrating fast enough to see it yet. But put yourself in an electron microscope. You can drive a Mack truck between the symbols in those carpets. This is none of it solid. So when I'm talking about grounded, it's about recognize you're connected to that energy, even when you're not touching it. I'm still connected to it, connected to all of you. We're not separate. We're all one. So we're all alone in this. We're all oneness. We're just the same. This looks like just a little physics experiment to me. Look at all these protons and neutrons in the form of an ice cube in here, all frozen in space. Recognize that you are not separate from anything, but then you are alone. That makes sense, that you're dividing in order to become whole. You've got to separate out from each other. Have your own identity so that the body can be whole, not separate so fuck you. Separate out so you can have identity, so you can have abundance. And some of us, we're like a big body. Not everybody gets to be red blood cells, or we're just going to be a big splotch in the universe of red. Somebody has to be fecal matters. It's my job today to spread that out. Fecal matters, my job today. Some of us get to be ligaments, tendons, some get to be toenails, some get to be ingrown hairs, whoever we are, that's who we are. Love your job. Everybody wants to be that same person, and I'll leap over to that side, it just flips the boat over. Be your job and love yourselves and do it well. And the homework is to be fearless. Breathe in your body, check in, claim your space. What you see outside of you is just a reflection of you. It's none of their business, good, bad, or indifferent. What they say to you, yes, I'm that as well as many other things. Yeah, as well, because as many other things, there's many other opinions as you're willing to take in that day. Yeah? Does all this make sense? Key to abundance is to be fearless. It's not an easy thing. America is the number one place to practice fearlessness because it is not the land of the free and home of the brave. That's the pop quiz, to wake up and smell that coffee and say, but it offers you the opportunity to be. That's where the freedom lies. You have the opportunity to go and live in Cornville. I have the opportunity to go and live in Fresno. I don't think I want it, but it's nice to know I can make it. And so it's nice to know you can make the choice to be who you are. Some of the things you might not wish to choose who you were told you should be, get to be yourselves. So if you're complaining about money, or complaining about where you live, or all of the above, complaining about who you live with, complaining about yourself, which you can't get away from, the homework is to be fearless. And this is an ageless thing. This is not about sex, creed, color, age. It's for everybody to be fearless. And as other people try to tell you how you should or shouldn't be, the real appropriate response, if you want to really be clear in the situation, is thank you for sharing your fears with me. Or would you like, now that you've told me what you're scared of, would you like to talk about it? Bob, you know, I'm really scared about you doing this. Well, Rob, I can really see that you're scared about me doing this. Would you like to talk about it? Or you're just going to have to watch me do it because I know it's scaring you, and tough luck. Guess it's my job to just remind you of your issues today, old Robbie. Okay, guys, any questions on this? Anything I skipped over too lightly, because I tend to jump around?